Hello, and welcome to A Course in Miracles TV. My name is Robin Duncan, and I am your host. Our topic today is on finding God in each other. I have two remarkable teachers with me, and their names are Jan O'Kelly and Timothy Holmes. Jan and Timothy have dedicated their lives, individually and as a partnership, to sharing the messages in A Course in Miracles. Their home is in Sedona, Arizona, and it is called The Little Garden. They named their home after a section in A Course in Miracles called The Little Garden. They feel that this section eloquently expresses their mission. It says, "The desert becomes a garden, green and deep and quiet, offering rest to those who lost their way and wander in the dust. Give them a place of refuge prepared by love for them where once a desert was." Jan and Timothy are spending their lives living the course, and they also enjoy sharing their home with one or two course students at a time. For many years now, they have taught others how to closely read and understand A Course in Miracles for themselves. They feel that reading the course pays rich rewards, and they believe that anyone can learn to do that. In fact, many of their students have become teachers of the course along with them. Welcome to the show, Jan and Timothy.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
So glad to be here.
Oh, you guys are so wonderful. Look how beautiful you are. It's great to have you here.
It's funny to hear that because we're so old.
Oh, you are not. You're just wonderful. Look at you. You have such shining light just shining through each one.
That's just beautiful. Yeah.
So I have to ask you two, how did you meet?
Well, we met when we both came to Sedona in 2000. So 21 years ago now, we came to study with Robert Perry, and we were in an intensive course for a year. And then during that time, we became study partners. Mm-hmm. And after a few years, we got married.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the quick version.
Yeah. No, we both came for that year program. And when that was over with, Jan was so inspired by the learning that we had done that year and the potential for our lives and others to flourish. And so she bought a home in Sedona and turned it into a 7-bedroom retreat center based on her guidance. And this is one of the things I so admire about Jan, is her ability to put everyday mundane things, even those in the hands of God, day to day, moment to moment. And she's very much an inspiration to me.
Oh, what a sweet guy.
Now, Jan, you say this all came to you through guidance. And some people ask me about that guidance. You know, what does it sound like? What does it feel like? How did you get that vision for this place?
Well, I got to tell you, that was the most intense guidance, actually a series, that I've ever had. Most of the time for me, guidance is I get quiet, and then I get a direction, a nudge, a feeling. That's mostly what guidance is. And then I ask, is this what you want me to do? But in this case, it was the end of that year, and I was reading, the lesson for the day was one of those like, you lead and I'll follow. And in my meditation with that lesson, I had this, I call it a mental video. I mean, I knew that Jesus wasn't literally in front of me, but boy, it was a clear movie. He's walking ahead of me on a hiking trail, and I knew exactly which hiking trail. And I saw his curly hair ahead of me, and he's wearing hiking shorts. And he says, "Go buy that house for my flock. And get right back in line behind me."
Wow. And I thought, that's direct.
Whoa, am I crazy? You know, so I, when Thanksgiving came, I took some time, went back to New York, and every day I'm asking, was that for real? Are you kidding? Tell me. And it kept on being yes, yes, yes. So when I got when I got back to Sedona, the only place that had the appropriate zoning, and that is so important because I had started the community before, and after 7 years, the neighbors said, we don't like all those cars.
Oh, boy.
Had to have the right kind of zoning, size, price. It was only one place available. It's hilarious. It is the house that was empty for a year. Robert Perry, his family, his business, everything had been in that house, and they were told, get out, we're going to sell this house. So that was the house, and that's short version.
Well, that is very direct guidance. I know some people don't get Jesus walking in front of them, telling them what to do, at least not that they can recognize, right? So you know you better listen up, right, when that happens. And I know sometimes for people listening, you know, guidance can come in so many ways. It can be a bumper sticker in front of you. It can be a billboard. It can be a song on the radio. And I think the way, at least the way that I recognize it is, it makes me feel very peaceful, or there's a moment of joy there. There's a moment of clarity. If you're feeling anxious or concerned or troubled by what you hear or feel or see, that's not guidance, because divine love will always uplift and reassure and comfort. So do you notice it that way, the two of you?
Yes.
Yeah, for me, for guidance is stuff that comes unbidden just shows up, because when I try and tune into guidance, it's not just that I'm not looking for particular answers, I even drop my question.
Exactly.
You know, because that's my teacher, the Holy Spirit, knows my lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to be told what that is, you know, because I've somewhere inside I've blocked it, or it's yet to be learned. So I drop the question, not just the answers, but the questions. And
that comes with experience, doesn't it? Right. Mm-hmm. It seems like that comes with experience, that, you know, a lot of times when we're first starting our spiritual journey, we have a lot of questions and we think we have a lot of needs. And the more we study and the more we get filled with spirit in our own awareness, I think the less questions we have, the quieter our mind gets. And then your prayers do become a time of just listening and allowing and receiving without a question. It's interesting how you get to that point. It just sort of naturally happens. And I think it really helps us to be great listeners when we're not packed with questions. Yeah. And, you know, and also those people that feel they have a great need and there's, you know, a sick child or something that needs to happen, don't ever be shy about taking everything to the Holy Spirit. He says, bring to me whatever is hurting you. So, but this journey, it seems like it does unfold that way. You start out with a lot of requests, a lot of prayers, and you get in that connection, that relationship, and you get assured in it, and then it becomes quieter and easier, because then we are open antennas, you know, to just really hear that voice. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to find A Course in Miracles. Who'd like to go first?
He's got the more interesting background.
Oh, I see.
It's not more. It's just distinct. You know, distinctions without a difference is a big idea. Anyways, I had my biological father, whom I never lived with, was a Vedantist associated with the Ramakrishna mission from India. And throughout my maybe teenage years, I'd see him now and then, and I knew about his affiliation with this non-dualist tradition. So I went to Chicago, which was close to Minneapolis, where I learned, and I met the Swami there, and I got initiated into the non-dualism, and I was raising a family. I had my own business. So for me, a big spiritual practice was going on retreat. I had set aside my business, set aside everything of my everyday life, and say, God, I'm going to make you most important.
Yay.
And so I did that for 20 years, and it was a monastic community. They had separation of men and women. That became kind of overwhelming, and the monastic community there was not handling all those issues very well. And I said, you know, I went into the shrine room where we worship. And I had said to God, I said, I have to go. I have to go from this planet, but you have to go with me. And as it was, I ran off with a woman who had been attending the thing, and I went to Canada with her. But the first hour I was with her, the Course in Miracles was on the back seat of the car, and I picked it up, and I haven't stopped studying it since.
So you thought the relationship was about dating her, but it was about dating A Course in Miracles, right? Wow, that's beautiful. Isn't it funny? It's right there on the back seat, just following you around. How about you, Jan?
My background was Catholic, and I have a lot of respect for gratitude for what I got from the nuns. In fact, Sister Laurice, if you're still around, I'm sure she is, a lot I got from that in terms of what's most important. My spiritual life is most important. God is always here. Prayer is a connection between me and God, and I can never be apart from that. All kinds of really valuable things. And I was really serious about it, you know, about my spiritual life. I went to a Catholic school. I went to a Catholic college for 2 years. And then I said, this, you know, there's a ceiling here. I've hit a ceiling a long time ago that I'm not growing. So I just said, forget it. I'm going to be an agnostic. I'm just going to wipe it all out as much as possible. Just done. If there is a God, he'll find me. And it happened, you know. I was at one point, I was really, really having so much pain in my first marriage.
Yeah.
This goes back like 50 years.
A life well lived.
I knew that Jesus had the truth. He talked about love, and I knew that was right. But I was kind of mad because he didn't tell us how to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I made a decision. I will learn. I recognized that it was a learning thing. That was the grace that came to me. Yeah. I could learn to love. And I said, from the depth of my being, I will learn to love this man. In other words, give up the grievance. That's how we'd say it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And boom, 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 boom. Amazing things happened internally as well as externally. And I was in another path that I needed for preparation, from the handbook to higher consciousness. And then in 1981, I found the course. And I haven't stopped reading it, like, every day. So I first page says, this is a required course. I said, okay, I'll take it.
40 years. I guess we're rolling on 40 years with the course. Is that right?
Yep.
One of the things that I know Jan shares with me, and we share with all kinds of course students, is we discover the joy of learning again, that learning is joyful.
Yeah.
And much of what we have to do in the world, it's like buckle down and stress and strive, and it hurts, but that's just part of life. And the course is saying learning is joyful. It's in your, if you're in your natural environment, then learning will be joyful for you.
Yeah.
And that's what we experience. You know, those lessons, we know they're valid because there's peace, because there's happiness.
And even if it means I'm learning that I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's joyful. That's really wonderful.
Yeah.
I thought this thing had to make me feel bad. No, it's my thoughts about that thing that are making me feel bad. I could change my thoughts.
That is good learning. You know, Jan, when you said you decided that God would find his way to you, you know, it says that in the course, right? It says God knows his way to his son. And I love that, because sometimes when we're kind of groping around in the dark and we can't find our way, we have this feeling that we'll never find him, we'll never figure it out. And I loved reading that line, that God knows his way to his son. And it just made me relax right where I was. And just like you, let God come to you, let him show himself, let him breathe life into you again. And similarly, we have such a similar path, but along the way, I just didn't really understand unconditional love. I knew love, I thought, but that unconditional kind, the kind where love is extended even if you make a mistake or if you fail, or so I wanted to know more about that. So I asked God, you know, please teach me about unconditional love. And I literally did not understand it at the time. And I feel like I have no question about it now. Like I was taught, and that willingness to listen is what brings it to you. So anyone listening, if you feel like you don't hear that guidance or you don't see your way out, you know, just that willingness to know there is a way out. There is something listening. There is a divine loving presence that loves you completely. It knows its way to you. It will show itself in a way that is meaningful. So everyone listening, please keep that hope and expect an answer. He says, in fact, expect a perfect answer. And I love that because sometimes we feel like we're kind of at a negative 3 on a 10-point scale. And sometimes we think, well, if I could get to a 2, that's a good day, right? No, I want everyone listening to expect a 10, expect a perfect answer, because God does perfection, right?
That's
so, so fun. Well, today our topic is on finding God in each other. So what would the two of you say about holy relationship? It looks like you certainly have one. You know, what can you say about that and how you can help people find their own holy relationship?
Well, I would like to, first of all, correct what I think is a common misconception. Mm-hmm. And the common misperception is there's one person for me, and that's my holy relationship. You know, that's my holy partner. And we look at the holy relationship as a way of relating rather than a person. It's like recognizing the Christ in each other, recognizing the true essence of God in everybody you meet. So some people will bounce it back to you. They will in their heart say, yes, I see that too about you. You know, that's when the holy relationship really comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. So that's really where it gets powerful. But we have to have that way of relating with everybody, whether it's a grocery store clerk or somebody on the phone, coming from a place of the God in me sees the God in you. Namaste, right? That's how I see holy relationship. Yeah. But when we have someone who is willing to do it with us, it's not about how fabulous a human being he is. He's fabulous, but you know, I mean, I have my blocks, right? I have my grievances. And so it doesn't always look like he's perfect or anyone else is perfect. But in this willingness to take our relationship into the God space, mm-hmm. we're able to transcend those grievances and even help one another.
Yeah.
So I got up this morning and I was reliving a very old pain, an old version of separation. It was triggered by something that happened yesterday. And he totally got that that's not who I am, that I am much more than that, that I will get beyond that, that this is an opportunity for me to learn and to clear. And thank you. So that's my version.
We think very much alike in that. And I guess the way that I would say that to others is our goal is to recognize that we have a holy relationship with everyone.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's about relating, you know, now after it's like the Christ in me relates to the Christ in you.
Yeah.
It was like the Quakers would say, we look to Adam before he fell.
Kind yeah. of thing.
Uh-huh. And the thing about truth is that if you find it in one place,
yeah.
you're going to find it everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But illusions work that way too. If you find it, if you're coming from an illusion in one place, it'll be an illusion everywhere. Mm-hmm. To me, what's so loving about the Course is the very things that the ego made to keep us separate from love, the Holy Spirit uses those very things
right.
to bring us back to love.
Yes.
And how much more loving could it be that everything we made to keep us away from love can be used to bring us back to love? Mm-hmm.
Say, you know, for someone that's hearing this for the first time, let's say your car is at the mechanic's shop and you need your car, you have to work the next day and you're getting ready to pick up your car, you're setting up the ride to get back to your car, and then you get a phone call and you find out that they haven't even worked on your car yet. In fact, it's 10th in line and it's not likely to be finished this week and they've got your car. Let's say, you know, these experiences we have in the world. And how would you say somebody manages that experience, thinking about it through the eyes of holy relationship? What would be helpful in that moment? What do you think?
What you have to understand, if you're studying the Course, is that everything is about the sense of loss or love or the regaining of love. And if you understand all those situations, that the car situation, the partner situation is really this existential crisis of thinking we left love, thinking we, you know, that we didn't want it anymore. That's what's always going on. And because it's that case, it's not situational, it's not based on condition. The love is unconditional, that at any moment I can recover that sense of love. And then what I think is true then is that even those car problems or whatever the situation, they're going to be repaired in whatever way they're going to be prepared, but my well-being is not tied to the condition. Mm-hmm. Because not only is love conditional in the Course, peace is unconditional, happiness is unconditional, everything about miracles, everything about spirit is unconditional, it's always there. So on faith and belief, we have to reinterpret those situations, see them as a sense of loss, that love does not wait to heal you, love is always there, and then find a way to find that love right away, right in the moment. Because all of the ego's goals are in the future. They're like, when this happens. And you can catch that kind of thinking and say, no, I'm not waiting for my peace. I'm not going to wait for my joy or my love. And if you can rethink, that's what penance really meant, not I'm paying for my past. It's like, rethink the situation. Do you really believe you can be without love?
So I like to use some of the lessons when I come up with a situation like that. Like today's lesson for the morning is my grievances hide the light of the world in me. So it's a grievance. If I'm angry, if I'm frustrated at those mechanics and the people who are scheduling my work and all of that, like they're not doing it right. They just really didn't do it right. If I'm thinking that way, I got a grievance. And that's hiding the peace, the joy, the light of God. It's preventing me from experiencing it. It's preventing me from giving it out. So I have to say, I'll take another lesson. I'm under no laws but God's. They're under no laws but God's. Hey, my rules about the order in which they should work on my car, forget it. That's not what's going on here. My job, my only function is forgiveness and therefore happiness.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to that place of forgiveness, it's not the first thing we think of sometimes. I mean, maybe after we get a little more experienced, but he does say forgiveness is the key to happiness. And it's not so we become doormats. It's as we offer that forgiveness. You know, some people might think, oh, great, you forgive your mechanic, but what about your car? You know, they go back to the challenge. But it's interesting how, just like you were talking about, that the grievance blocks the light in you, that it also blocks the miracle, which is the correction to set all things right, whatever that would look like in the divine plan. So if we can quickly forgive that mechanic and realize, what are they showing me? They're showing me that life is unfair. They're showing me my belief that things are not easy to come by. They're showing me my belief that people are deceptive or that I'm not loved, just like you said, Timothy, that it's this loss of love that we seem so attracted to. So if we can forgive those beliefs, well, then the block can come down to where the light is seen. And it's so interesting because it usually comes with some kind of a little phone call or a correction that says, You know, by the way, we called you and said your car wasn't ready, but it's actually, that was somebody else. Your car is actually ready and it's waiting. You know, and it can show up so many different ways, but it always seems to come with a smile. It comes with something that you recognize that something divine has happened. And so if we can quickly leap into that forgiveness, I think for me, that's really acknowledging mm-hmm. that holiness in that encounter. Because it sure isn't your first thought sometimes when you're angry, but if it could be your second thought, it could certainly get things squared away quickly, right?
Yeah.
I this is one of these areas of what do you find difficult about the course, and to see the connection between forgiveness and your sense of loss, you don't always see. But you know, to go back to the joy of learning and the very things that we made for separation from love can be used.
Yeah.
So when we're going in a normal way with our life, getting cars done, doing all of these things, the question in our mind is always, will I be enough? Will I be enough? Will I be able to meet that situation? Will I have what it takes? And that's a constant sense of anxiety and fear. So how does the Holy Spirit use that? It says, that's the only thing you need to hear from me, the Holy Spirit says, is just own that of yourself, you're not going to be enough and that you need divine help.
Yeah.
So this very thing that's always bothering us, this mundane sense of loss, admitting that we need help is our way out.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't have to continue to be this thing that we've always experienced, I guess.
So if somebody's in a pretty strained relationship, maybe it's a marriage, a partnership, a sibling, and it just seems like there's no hope for it, is there something in the course you could direct them to, or just some idea they could hold on to today that would pave the way to a higher experience?
Like right at the beginning of the course, Jesus says, I will direct you to where you're needed. Mm-hmm. Where you can give, but more importantly, whereas if they receive, they will give it back. If that's not happening in the situations you're in, and over again, it feels like you're giving your love, you're giving your healing, but it just doesn't seem to work, well, then you have to consider leaving that situation. And that's very hard to do because loyalty and all these things that the ego comes up with, you know, maladaptive loyalty, mm-hmm. dedication to dysfunction, you have to hear those voices and not listen to them. And what we're doing now in the book for the yearly study, it says, you have all power in heaven and earth to say no to these fantasies of love. You have that power. You won't know that you have it until you use it. And that becomes the key. These are ideas, but you won't really get them until you use them.
When somebody comes to me and they're really upset about a relationship not working, and it really seems like they've tried and they're doing their best and it's not soul satisfying, I point them to that section in the manual for teachers where it talks about some relationships are very brief, but they could be holy relationships. A kid bumps into you and you don't scold them, like that. But when you've learned as much as you need to learn at that point, it's appropriate to move on. Mm-hmm. And then a few relationships are lifelong.
In the section called the healed relationship, I know one of the first things that I did in the relationship that I was in that was really troubled is I learned in the course that I could actually dedicate that relationship to the Holy Spirit, that I could just turn the relationship over. I didn't even know that was actually an option. So that was exciting to hear. And it's amazing how that relationship was healed. It was healed under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it's not about form, just like you say, it's not about whether you're going to lunch with someone or living in the same house. It's about recognizing the healing between the two of you, that you're one in spirit, you're one in God. And as we begin to reclaim that oneness that we are with one another, you start to see that relationship heal in ways, and it even heals in form, because that's the extension of it. So there's so much opportunity. I know anyone listening that might think that their relationship is something they'd really love to see healed, but maybe it just feels like it's lost. It's a lost cause. Well, try dedicating it to the Holy Spirit, put it under Holy Spirit's guidance, and be willing to be guided, just like the two of you are saying, with that flow, with that nudge. If you're not sure of what you're hearing, then ask again. And then if you're not sure what you're hearing, ask again. You can ask 100 times, 1,000 times a day. And I feel like Holy Spirit loves a happy learner, loves when we're listening all the time. So it's not about form. It's not about fixing the form. It's about the content of the relationship. And as it is healed, you will certainly see that healing with your eyes as well, right? What do you think?
Absolutely. In fact, there's many times in our life together where I'm really upset about something and I'm really frightened because I think what's going on between us or what you're doing is, but if I can suspend that, right? If I can really put that aside, and what helps me with leaving a relationship is this understanding that there's an eternal connection between us.
Exactly.
That I can't really leave you, that we are one. And so my experience has been that if I can set aside this stuff that I'm really anxious about in this relationship, for instance, somehow or other, that problem gets fixed.
It sure does.
It either gets solved or it becomes a non-problem or a non-issue. But that's my experience, you know.
And you know what else I'm thinking about is how there was a time we had been married, I don't know, maybe 10 years. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But we separated for 4 years. And it looked like, well, that one's not going to work, but the love never stopped. And I don't mean romance. I don't mean dependency, yearning. It was more like seeing the truth of that person, you know, that never stopped.
Yeah.
And so at a certain point, it was like, well, those issues are healed.
Yeah.
Let's get back together.
You know, that's why guidance is so important, is to understand, like, this is a course. This is learning. There's a curriculum. And you learn something, and then you edit. You learn something, you edit. It's always changing.
Yeah.
But this is where guidance comes in, because we have to learn to distinguish the ego's voice from the Holy Spirit's, because the learning domain is the same for both of them. And the ego, you know, is this my ego saying, cut and run, get out of here, this is too bad, or is it really the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And that takes learning.
What would you say, Timothy, that is a distinguishing factor for you? How do people know if they're hearing Holy Spirit or the ego? What do you think?
Well, you said it. It's, do I feel peaceful with this guidance? And if I feel really troubled by it, what are my beliefs? Like it says at page 90 in the Course in Miracles.
I love page
90. Where you went off the rails. And that could be just moments ago. And go back and go, oh, I'm remembering my mom saying to me, I don't take pride in anything. Nonsense. Mm-hmm. Nonsense. I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, and you have the ability to make that. So peace, a sense of joy that's not conditional.
Uh-huh.
It's just a sense of well-being and my worth and the beauty of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not conditional.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the signs, you know, that the like the Course is saying, don't avoid the specific lessons, the specific situations, because by doing them very specifically, you learn how to generalize.
Yeah.
And that's what all learning is about, is generalizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So when those situations come up, I'm aware that there's this other voice here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my friend.
And you can kind of tell, because so back into the context of relationships, you can kind of tell that you want to run away.
Yeah.
And you want to get safety by being physically away from that person, and you don't like them.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely not guidance. That's like, okay, I need to work on myself here.
Right. Healing is an inside job, right?
Yes,
I love page 90. It's a real go-to for me for many years because it talks about how the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of your wrong decisions if you will let him. Now, it's interesting when he says that about he's not going to take your effects away, your consequences away. He's going to undo it because we are the holy child of God. And whatever we decide, we're going to actually project that as if it's true, even when it's not. So we have the consequence of our own misperception, but he says he'll undo it. And that is such a beautiful promise that is guaranteed. He'll undo it. And that's what I've seen in my relationships. Now, every one of them have been healed, even the problematic ones. They have all been healed. And it's not about form, but it's about the love is known between every one of us, where before maybe it wasn't quite so known. So I love that. And how about, you know, you say that you invite some people to stay with you from time to time, their course students. How do people find out about that? What does that look like when, if someone comes and lives with you for a month or more at a time?
Well, we really enjoy it. And they do too. They have a private room, a shared bath, shared with one other person. The house we're in now has four bedrooms, and two of them are for course students except for us. And we live together as an adult family. You know, we're just grown-ups. It's not like we're
peers.
Yeah, we're peers. That's a good way of saying it. Mm-hmm. And yet, for them, in most cases, it's an immersion in course thinking. Because we don't reference other things. It's like, we're course purists, and we've been soaked in it for so long that it's all we do, you know? So we have these conversations in the kitchen, in the garden, while we're on hikes or whatever.
Right.
And it's really, really helpful. People have said, you know, how tremendously helpful it's been for them.
Yeah.
So they come for a month minimum up to a year.
Yeah. You know, prior to doing the course, and I had my non-dualist practice, and I was raising kids, I had a business, I would go like every 3 months for a week and a half on a retreat. When people come on retreat here, they're bringing a great yearning for change in their lives, mm-hmm. this great yearning for God. They've recognized the way things are going, it's not working, I need to change. And that yearning for God, and then to see them be successful in changing their minds, changing their hearts. When we see that, it's just like it says in 15, chapter 15, when you see somebody else succeeding at God, you don't think your chances are less. You think your chances are improved.
Yeah.
Right? So when they come with their great yearning and devotion, we can participate in that.
Yeah.
And we can see the changes in them. And then we understand what we're doing has value.
Yeah.
You know, this practice has value.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great gift to have people come to you and ask for help.
Has that ever been a challenge where someone just has a complete meltdown when they get there? Just that feeling of spirit, you know, that you're in this very safe and loving place? Or has it always been just very flowy and smooth? Or does it have its challenges?
I'll give you a good story. And it's the same as in the course, but this was a very prominent story. I was working at the monastery in Michigan. We were doing construction, and one of the monks had a close relative or something come, and he was severely mentally ill. And at one point, he walked up to me, and he grabbed my neck, and he started squeezing, and I couldn't breathe. And when I get in real physical danger, I get really calm. I had a tree business, you know, I would face physical. So when he did that, I got really quiet inside. And all of a sudden he dropped his hands and he stood back and he said, "You're not a pacifist, are you?" But it was going to that peace,
mm-hmm.
you know, to recognize that I'm not in danger, really, you know. That ability to rework the situation, mm-hmm. to be able to stop that anxiety thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then say, help me.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that was a challenging situation. Well, definitely your inner peace produced or extended your outer peace. And so yes. It showed up right there. Right.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think we've really had any problems since we've started here.
No. Go ahead.
After Course Community House, the other place that we had in Sedona, the bigger place, after we left and some other people took over, there were some people who showed up with issues and they just worked with them. And there was great healing.
You know, one of the tools that I've used so much over these many years is a tool that I believe Timothy created, and it's a little lookup tool for A Course in Miracles. You can enter a word or a phrase, and you go to thelittlegarden.org, and you can use that tool that Timothy created. So tell us about that, Timothy. How did you create that, or how did you get inspired to create it?
Well, that's an interesting story. So back at that time, we were living on 4th Avenue.
In Tucson.
In Tucson. And that was early 2000. The internet was just starting to take off and lots of stuff was happening with that. And Jan's son, Danny, had created websites, and he was really the go-to guy for that. And his view is that video and audio really isn't part of the internet, that that's not really what it's going to be for. It's more for the written word. Well, when I heard that, I thought, well, that's just not right. So what I did was teach myself programming. You know, I learned how to create databases and how to search them because I wanted to have a tool for myself where I could study. You know, where I could see the connections between this idea and that idea and to be able to find it. Right? So it was a crisis in a sense that prompted me to learn programming, you know, and I understood that this would be a good tool for others, you know. So,
well, it is. And I have used it hundreds of times. And you know what's really fun with that tool is if you pick a word that you'd like to know more about. You know, maybe it's the word happiness or the word doubt. Like, what does A Course in Miracles say about doubt? And by the time you bring up all the sections and the sentences where that word is used, and if you start to capture those a little bit on a piece of paper, by the time you're done, you have a solid understanding about what it says about doubt. And it's so reinforcing, and you feel like you have a deep understanding after that. So I love that tool. I've used it. I have taught with it. I just thank you for it, Timothy. It's a blessing. And so people can find that at thelittlegarden.org along with the retreats and being a guest and all the things they would need to do.
The only technical point I would make about that search functionality is in the top, they come out in paragraphs, and at the top left of that paragraph, it has which book.
Oh,
the text, the workbook, or the manual, and then it shows the section and then the paragraph. So it's the upper left corner that can show you where that is.
Perfect. It is a jewel.
Other things that are on the website.
Oh, yeah.
As our live Zoom classes. And I think we're probably going to continue them.
How often do you host those classes?
5 days a week.
Well, that's a lot.
And also, we have a lot of them are recorded and they're on YouTube. And all of that you can find at www.thelittlegarden.org.
Yeah.
That's like the hub to find everything else. It's much easier to go through the website to find these things than to try to find them individually.
Yeah. And what I would say in general about our teaching is planned obsolescence.
Yeah.
It's like we tell people that this is what we do and you can do it.
Yeah. So Timothy has always said close reading brings rich rewards and anyone can do it. You know, reading the course can be challenging. The density of the ideas, it has its benefits, but for a beginner, it can be a challenge. And we show people you actually can understand what this is saying by reading it carefully. So we don't actually, in our workbook classes, we just kind of talk about the workbook lesson because it's only a half an hour. We're very loose about that. But then we have a text class that's on YouTube, which is designed specifically for people in far off places or even in cities who don't have a home group to study with. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's as close as we can be on Zoom to what it was in our living room when we had classes at home.
You know, what we found is that like the closer study where we're, you know, going line by line and pointing out the connections, that works really good with a group of like 7 or 8 people that get to know each other, that can understand their backgrounds and things like that. You can have much bigger groups, but there's all kinds of groups. But when we work with like 7 or 8 people,
it's about optimal, I think.
For what we're doing, that works really good.
Yeah. And then you can share it with the recordings and, you know, other people feel like they're right there with you, right?
Yep. If they bring their book. Otherwise, if they bring their book and they study with us, then it's really helpful. If they're just watching it, they're going to see a lot of people reading their books and thinking, you know? But if they're reading their book and thinking, then they're part of it.
They're part of the group, right?
Yeah, right.
What would you say for somebody just starting out, they'd really like to think about A Course in Miracles, maybe crack that book open. What would you suggest for them to help that be a smooth process? Is there anything they need to know in their launch into this journey?
I think watching videos and reading things like you produced, Robin, are great. I think our workbook classes are also a nice introduction, but there's a lot of good stuff online, lots of good teachers.
I know what we did when we first started, it was just such big material, so much to understand that when we would have a question, we would do what we call flip opens, which I'm sure you do too. And you just open the book, you whatever your question is, you flip it open and maybe you just put your finger on the page and see what it has to say. And it's amazing how the answer can so beautifully line up with your question. And sometimes when you're new at this and you don't even trust your own questioning, sometimes it doesn't match at all. Don't be alarmed. Do it again. Sometimes that second hit is amazing. Like it's the first one is to get your own doubt out of the way. And I found that over the years, now it's the first one every time. But for a while, I would do a flip open and I would think, I don't know what this has to do with my question, or maybe I just didn't understand. Yeah. So just whoever's doing those flip opens as a new student, you know, keep flipping and let him show you an answer that really speaks to your heart. You will be shown an answer and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. I've heard that flip open called the scriptural oracle.
Very nice. I love that. And it's so helpful. It just gets us centered all over again. Yeah. Well, you had mentioned, Jan, that you're building something in the backyard there, a trellis. Yeah. Tell us about the beauty of your home.
Well, the home is really, really pretty and very functional.
And she's a master gardener. She brings such beauty. We always have fresh cut flowers in the house.
Yeah.
And she's created such a beautiful garden back there. It's just wonderful to stand in it.
It's nice.
So now you're going to do...
So we ordered this arbor, you know, and it comes in pieces, of course. And it's like, we got halfway through and I said, no, I can't do this. This is like, even with him, it's like, we need to have, so it will be done by the time we have a dedication, but it's going to be around over a plaque that we're having made in gratitude for Helen and Bill and their scribing of the course, their courage in bringing it forth. I'm just so grateful to them. So that will be in the garden and it's really going to be sweet. When this pandemic is over, which is soon, we're going to have a big get together. We love to have dinners, brunches, potlucks. We love to entertain course students. They're not just our personal students. They're from all over the, you know, the area.
Yeah. If someone is traveling through Sedona and they would like to stop and say hello or see the little garden, is it open for that or do they need to contact you?
Oh, they should contact us because we're, you know, it's our home. We would love that. Phone number's on the website.
Yeah.
Where do you think the two of you are headed from here? Do you think you'll keep doing what you're doing or is there anything coming up?
I think the phase Jan and I are at is that both of us are really entrepreneurial, independent, creative. We have our own projects and we come together, you know, and do classes. But I think we're not going to give up these independent things. But I think what we're trying to do is come together now, get a deeper guidance. Because to go back to what I was saying earlier of what Jesus says is, let me direct you to what miracles and where to where to give them, because I know where they'll be received and given back. Mm-hmm. And so we want to hear on a deeper level, how do we go forward from here? We realize what we're doing has value. We've shown that over and over again.
Yeah.
And we want to, I mean, we're, Jan and I's joke is that we're going to be in the backyard
digging
a hole for plants and we'll just both kind of fall in there together. But we're going to do this the rest of our life. So together, getting guidance and deepening that is something I think.
Yeah. And deepening our relationship with one another as well. You know, it's like just because we got it going on doesn't mean we can't go farther and deeper and bless each other more and the world through us.
Yeah. And I guess I would say, as I've thought about this process of having a marriage and having a holy relationship, is not using one against the other, but let them both work together. And I think what we've seen is there's ways in which we can do the normal, you know, deciding on tasks, delegating authority, delegating responsibility, and all of this. And that ability to together to do that, you know, what I was thinking was, is that maybe thinking we had a holy relationship, not since we've had that, that now we can make the marriage be more reflective of that in terms of, you know, you decide on what task are we going to do and what are you going to do separate? What
have
are we going
to better communication?
Have better communication as a marriage, you know. And not just thinking because we have a holy relationship that, you know, we don't have to do the normal.
We don't have to do any work.
Any work in our marriage. Because you have to work in every relationship. I mean, learning is cumulative and it's sequential. And you're always learning.
Yeah.
And we're dedicated to always learning this course.
That's what makes life fun.
Well, you two are so much fun. And anyone listening to this this time with you, they can find out more about you at www.thelittlegarden.org. And I have been there so many times myself. I can't wait to stop by and see you all in Sedona. I've only been once, but it was heavenly. It is just truly one of the most beautiful places on earth. It is breathtaking. And anyone going there, I'm sure they'll be blessed by meeting you and seeing that beautiful environment that you live in. Perhaps everyone listening can plant a little garden of their own, not only in their heart, but maybe in their own home, that they can make that home a place of rest for the weary, a place of non-judgment, a place where people are welcomed without a story, without the past, and a place to rest. There's a plaque even in my front bathroom that just talks about this being a home where people can come to rest a while. And that's really important to us, that we have a place where people can just come and be themselves and not feel like they have to say something or do something in a particular way. So I love what you two have created together, and I'm so grateful for it and all that you've done, the tools you provided. You actually open your home to people to come and deepen their study. So I am so grateful as a fellow messenger of peace. And yes, I thank you so much for your time today. It's been so fun.
And you come by and we'll make you a great dinner.
We will make
you a
great dinner. He's a really good Indian cook.
Oh, that is wonderful. I love it. You got it.
So I'm really glad. I was really glad to get to know you a little better and for this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Timothy. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Rob.
You two set the example so all of us can grow our own little gardens and we will think of you.
Very good.
This is Robin Duncan with A Course in Miracles TV. Be sure to check out our website at acourseinmiracles.tv for upcoming events and resources. And this channel is offered freely for public benefit, and your donations help to keep this program going. So thank you for that. Remember to expect miracles and have a blessed day.